You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
I love this song.
Everybody, take some clothes off. Get comfortable. Oh, geez. You know, this reminds me. Dos Equis just picked their next most interesting man in the world, and great job. I think he's great. I think he's a great most interesting man in the world. Had I been born a woman, I'd want to fuck him. Seems like it'd be an interesting way. Jump into a well to get a ball or whatever the hell it was. And the other thing is, because he's so young, they're going to have him for at least a couple of decades. The first interesting, most interesting man in the world was already so old. I mean, how much farther are you going to go before he's the most interesting man in a wheelchair? So, there's that. As far as last night's show goes, you know, for the 33 minutes that we were live last night, it was really, really a fun time. I got on. I had a lot to get off my chest. Gadget Doc was on with me for a majority of it. And then the last 10 minutes were pretty stellar before the internet came out. Gave out. And I'll tell you, every time that I open myself up like that, I'm always asking myself, am I doing the right thing? Do people want to hear this? And I'm pretty sure that some people don't. But there are many people who need to hear it. And I have been reminded of that every time that we go the extra mile in just talking about what the hell's bothering us and working out through irrationality and through just the day-to-day wear and tear and the mental grind, the emotional grind, all that stuff, because I get the messages. I received 3 messages from people that weren't watching live but got to listen to the episode today, and they just... they thanked me. They related to me. They said, you know, I'm so happy that you feel the same way. I have all these pressures, and I have all these things that I love to do and all these things that I want to do. And it's hard to concentrate on one thing without neglecting the others. And then you start feeling the pressure of all that. And then, of course, time marches on. You just there's no stopping the sands of time from slipping through the hourglass. You know, I feel like I'm Dorothy sometimes. Dorothy Gale. Trapped inside of the Wicked Witch of the West's Tower of London there. Staring into the glass of the red sands of time that she was working with. Auntie M coming into her with those little visions in the crystal ball.
How are they?
But that's what we are, aren't we? The other thing we are is we are the great many. We are the great many. And what we have to get around to talking about tonight is something a little bit more serious. Now, we hit up the headlines, but we have to look at the greater implications here. Now, I did not start off this campaign season as someone who was thinking about voting for Donald Trump. However, he's the only option that I see for myself. You guys can, obviously you have your own choice, but I'm voting Trump. And not for any reason other than we talked about the immigration, the Supreme Court picked it. The courts are the biggest thing. It doesn't matter who is president for the next 4 to 8 years. The court appointments that are coming out of this next presidency is going to last us 30 to 40 years. You have no clue how bad this is going to be if this shifts over to a bunch of ideological leftists. It's already a kangaroo court, an activist court as it is. They have granted themselves legislative powers and interpretive powers over the Constitution that they are not given by the Constitution. So we're in very, very deep shit right there. It's scary as hell. I will make a deal with the devil just to have that happen. The other thing is this. This is something that you're not going to be able to talk to somebody about. Now, most people on Facebook, whoever you have on Facebook that are making their stands on their soapboxes to the same 12 people that they that'll always like their statuses and nobody gives a shit about. They're not capable of having the deeper conversation. Talking about the Supreme Court is already too deep for people who are ready to pull the lever and push buttons on behalf of somebody being a racist. Even though the only confirmed racists out there are those from the DNC. Even though the only scheming, plotting, terrible people out there in this election season so far that's been outed is the DNC. The Republicans, for the spineless bunch of non-opposition ninnies that you guys know them to be, and that the great many people see them as the enemy, which they're just not. Shadows and dust. They're nothing. It's like a mist. Terrible. But for all that kicking and screaming and all the people hating on Republicans as being the WWE heels that they are, the scripted heels that they are, there's Donald Trump. They didn't want him. Nobody wanted him except the people. And all the tricks in the book didn't happen. Nothing stopped it. And what this has come down to for me, aside from all the Supreme Court stuff and the immigration stuff, which is all tied in together, and also the immigration stuff is tied in with what I'm about to say next. It's him versus the globalist cabal. That's it. For as crazy as Alex Jones comes off as from time to time, and he gives us all a good chuckle, he really did say it in so many words that this is a title fight. This is the title fight. Hillary Clinton, this monster, she's a hydra. Okay? It's her and Trump. Obviously both progressive, obviously both liberal. But here's the thing, and why do you say that, Frank? Well, first of all, he wraps himself up in the flag. That is the only thing there, and he believes in, you know, school choice and all that. So he has some conservative type stances. But I mean, look at yesterday and talking about six weeks paid maternity care. That's not conservative. That's still government. That's still expanding the role of government. So listen, everybody. I go back to my old point, too, from yesterday or the day before, whenever the hell it was. It was made a couple of times over the last couple of weeks. If it weren't for the crazy media narratives and the media campaigns out there to turn people into drooling Geiger counters to try to detect racism and Islamophobia and xenophobia everywhere, everybody's been turned into a racism Geiger counter. If it weren't for the media doing its job, mopping up and destroying people and throwing that really thin veil in front of people's eyes that we just can't seem to get past, if it weren't for that, Democrat voters would probably be pretty happy with the stuff that that Donald Trump is rolling out there. He's a New York Democrat, for the most part. He shaked all the right hands, and there you go. So you have this going on, but running all that aside, this is a big, big, this is a lot more conspiratorial. This is a lot deeper. This is a lot more underground shit going on here. And I'm telling you something else here. Look at what's happened with the Democratic Party and this primary season. They did not have a primary. Remember that. They didn't have a primary. If you were a Bernie Sanders voter, then you know that better than everybody. You didn't have a primary. You voted. You donated all the money you could spare to Bernie Sanders. He raised tens of millions of dollars. He spent pretty much all of it. He bought himself a house afterwards. After he bent the knee to Hillary Clinton, he bowed out. And we learn that not only did he never have a chance, ever have a chance, but he was targeted. Bernie Sanders' voters were targeted. It's coming out more and more. We got more leaks that are out today that we got to talk about right now. So you're talking about an organization of people that pretty much control all of the major media in the country. That's backed up by major international globalist benefactors and financiers. And you don't think that there's going to be massive voter fraud? Guys, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you. Obviously, if you were looking at things unbiasedly, everything that Hillary Clinton does is a flop. It's falling in front of her feet and just dying. It's dead. She's not. There's no enthusiasm for her. Nobody's showing up to her rallies. She hasn't held a press conference since 2015. She has pneumonia. She doesn't have pneumonia. Bill Clinton said she has the flu now, whether he forgot what she had. She has the flu. She has a brain tumor. She has this and that, deep vein thrombosis. She's passing out. She's not. She stumbled. It looked like the Hillary fish market, like we said. She looked like a dead cod. And all this shit is going on. Nobody. There's no enthusiasm for this woman. There's nothing going on. Look at what Donald Trump is attracting. Just on that alone, I can see this. You know, I can see how people are being gaslighted right now. You're being shown one thing, told another. You're being pitted up against, conflicting messages here. You're getting so confused that you're just saying, fuck it. That's not where the wind is blowing. I'm sorry. That's not where the wind is blowing. And because that is the case, and because I believe that the media and the DNC and Hillary Clinton and this global network of bankers and philanthropists and all these people, I believe that there is something much more sinister in the works. We've been talking about the ideas about what, you know, the correlations between now and the 1960s, especially right now, looking a lot more like 1968 minus the assassinations. And I know that a lot of people have been talking about this. It's been getting peppered in a little bit more there, but it's always been in the back of my mind. But I didn't really see any reason for it because I didn't really see a way for Donald Trump to really overcome Hillary Clinton, the entirety of the machine. But now that we are less than 2 months away and we're seeing just how well he's weathered the storm, he's not being taken down, and she's dragging herself across the finish line. Decades of wheeling and dealing and manipulation and cover-ups and lies. Guys, forget about all the health stuff. Look at the lies. She falls down in front of cameras when they thought that she was safely hidden from the media and the citizenry. And then all of a sudden, afterwards, the doctor comes out and says, oh, she's just been diagnosed with pneumonia. Oh, just been diagnosed with pneumonia. Just. Not only do I not believe the pneumonia thing until I see otherwise, but the timing, there's something very, very wrong here. There's something very wrong here. Okay, the memes that are popping up. Yo, this is nuts. I'm going to get around to what everybody's in the chat room is saying soon. I have a whole bunch of shit here. Where the hell is... Oh, hold on. I changed my Google. Hold on, everybody. I have to sign in. I changed my Google passwords today, so I have to get all my bookmarks. that it? Oh, I'm going to have to... God damn it. Now I'm going to have to wait for a verification code to be sent to my phone. Hold on, everybody. I need to get this shit up. There's so much going on. Got it. Perfect. Okay. So... No, still not in there. Oh, there's a few things here. Okay, so... Get that out of here. Dramatic new details emerge about San Bernardino. Nope, that's not it. FBI's flawed statistics. We did that yesterday. ABC reports Hillary's death. We did that yesterday. Coptic filmmaker did that yesterday. U.S. might have given $33.6 billion to Iran. LA Times now. This is something very good. It's surging amongst the gay community. They're buying guns. I'm so happy for it. Now, they're hiding it, and they don't ever want you to think about it. But gun sales in the gay community is surging. LA Times just even covered it soon. Going against the grain after Orlando shooting, LGBT groups embraces guns. Going for it. Jonathan Fisher is never sure who's going to be more surprised when he, as he likes to put it, comes out of the gun closet. The gun aficionado, gun aficionados who find out he's gay, or the gay friends who find out he's liking shooting guns. Go out there and do it. Go out there and do it. We have to find every damn thing that makes us free. We have to connect to that again. I don't have any of this other stuff here. It didn't transfer over. Matt, what do you think about this? What do you think about the danger to Donald Trump's life? Do you see anything coming up with this?
I mean, why wouldn't they assassinate him, if that's what you mean?
I understand that, but that is something that has not been done in a long time. And, of course, we're not talking about people. We're talking about state-sanctioned. This would be state-sanctioned. Okay. Here's another one from Hillary Clinton. Here's the thing I really wanted to get out. Donald Trump, Pepe the Frog, and white supremacists, an explainer. Ladies and gentlemen, this is off of Hillary Clinton's website. Now, I have to go to some text messages from our good friend Ben, based Heisenberg. He gave me a background story. We were talking about this, about Pepe the Frog, because I, as far as meme culture goes, I need to get all my background from him. I have to get all my background from somebody. Now, when it comes to this, several updates later, blah, 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 here we go. But anyway, what's so weird about this, he's talking about Pepe, is that there is absolutely no trace of Pepe being in any mainstream Trump media. No advertising, what have you, nothing. It does not exist. There's absolutely no trace of it. I'm sure it's been mentioned by her campaign, but this exists online pretty much entirely on websites like Reddit and 4chan. Save for a few instances, I'm sure that there are Pepe memes being sent to prominent political figures. The only possible way anybody could get the idea that Pepe is that prominent of a symbol of anything, let alone hate speech. And for everybody that doesn't know, let's go to the website again. We're going to go back to those text messages. And there is Pepe the Frog right there. Why is there a frog standing directly behind Trump? That's Pepe. He's a symbol associated with white supremacy. Wait, really? White supremacy? You see, everything... You guys, this is a toothpaste commercial. Everything is a toothpaste commercial. Watch how Hillary Clinton speaks. BPMs, count it in BPM. She speaks like a first grade teacher. Very slow, lets you hear everything she's saying at this pace and this tonality. And then... She'll get a little more upset. And every once in a while, she'll put her foot down. And that's exactly how all of this is pandering. And it's because she knows that the people she needs are all of third grade reading level, that can't think for themselves, that have been destroyed by federal education. And of course, this is the last chance to get anything done, because as soon as she slips in, we're going to see tens of millions of Democrat voters made overnight. And goodbye. Talk about gerrymandering. It's over. It's over. It's over. Please explain. Here's the short version. Pepe is a cartoon frog who began his internet life as an innocent meme enjoyed by teenagers and pop stars alike. Says the unhip. This is like going to... I liken this to all the years that I was in Catholic school and I went to the dances at night. The Catholic school dances, and all of the nuns were the chaperones, and they put on the dances and they picked the music and they monitored all the dancing that was going on to make sure people weren't too close, but it was still a hip place to be. You know, is this the hip place to be? But in recent months, Pepe's been almost entirely co-opted by the white supremacists who call themselves the alt-right. They've dedicated who are different from the other white supremacists called Republicans. Get it? See, Republicans, here are the nuances that you need to be able to pick up if you're thinking the right way. The Republicans were those racist, out of it, uncool, unhip, conservative, religiously uptight, you know, not with it, behind in the times racially and all that stuff. They were the ones who catch all the shit. But now, because people just did not want to associate with Republicanism, a big R Republicanism anymore, and they wanted to come out and they actually wanted somebody or something that represented how angry they are. Now, of course, when you're acting out of anger, you're not acting from the right side of the proper side of your brain. You know, that's not the faculties that are going to support anger are not going to be the same ones that support rational, logical thought and rational thinking and decision-making and all that. I understand that. But still, where do you really expect people that are living in this country in 2016 who aren't part of the mass zombified progressive front to be calm and collected? What? I'm happy somebody's fucking angry. I sure am. I can't stand this shit. But here's the thing. Because there has actually been some sort of a departure away from the controlled opposition that the Republican Party is for the vast majority of the Republican Party being controlled opposition, they're just an extension of the Democrat Party, which, of course, are just two subsidiaries in this ridiculous duopoly we call progressivism. That expands and expands and expands on the reach of federal government and just splits up duties and, you know, just controls the narratives and maintains the wedge issues to make sure that people never come together and say, you know what, we don't need any of you motherfuckers. So that being said, what is the alt-right? The alt-right are the people who actually wanted to stand out and tell everybody go fuck themselves. The establishment Republicans and the progressive Democrat types, which is where the queen spider lays her eggs, in the Democrat Party. So the alt-right needs to be this white supremacist movement, whereas Republicans, you know, those are just the people who are looking for some kind of representation, and they've been hijacked by the alt-right. Oh, really? They were really just kind people who are just looking for some proper representation? That's all they were up until now? Because I'm pretty sure that they were blamed for everything before the emergence of this defined alt-right of yours. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is just more unveiling of the fact that there never was a Republican Party. There never was an opposition. because this alt-right has now embodied all of the things that they used to say about Republicans. You see, it's just the default because they don't have any good ideas to throw at you. They don't have any good ideas to throw at you. They're the party. They're the movement. They're the global movement. It's not just an American phenomenon. They're the global movement that has nothing to do and nothing in their bag of tricks except to throw out isms and phobias and create crises, immigration crises, to then usher in new ways of doing business that require giving up of individual rights, giving up of representation in a more localized form, centralizing everything into these gigantic, is that thunder outside?
Stereo.
What?
Someone's really bumping their bass out there, bro.
Oh, is it Mike?
No, I think it's out there.
Well, but that's really much it. That's it. I mean, that's where it goes. The DNC leaks, though. I see Jenny Lee just asked about them. So you guys go check that out. This is for Jenny Lee and a lot of our friends in the chat room right now. They're all up with meme culture and the memes and who's what and the where's and when they popped up and how they're used to lay down commentary and make fun of people who get a little bit too serious on a subject or have drunk the Kool-Aid, as they say. But this is the most absurd, surreal thing anymore to watch. It's the most absurd, surreal thing to watch. It really is. To see that fucking frog, that I still don't really fully understand. Ben was telling me more about it. Let me see. The actual inception of Pepe, as we know it, started in a Feels Good Man meme, which is a comic called Boys Club that was first published back in 2006. This could also be a winning sign, a sign that the trolls are winning. One of the last stages of quote-unquote breaking somebody online while trolling them is to get them to attempt to call you out and bring other people's attention to the situation. Because with the addition of agitating the person, you also accomplish making them look like a fool in public. Hillary Clinton is just a doddering fool, just a stumbling, bumbling, old bag of a hag. It has been amazing to watch everybody. It's just so funny.
Did you hear what Michael Savage said today?
What? Oh, you know what he said?
What he said? He's like, oh, I think I might lose a slipper and fall off a curb.
I heard him say,
I might lose a shoe and fall off a curb.
You know what he said? What he called her, what he described her being, or described her passing out. He said, it wasn't stumbled. She passed out. They threw her into a van like a side of beef. Like a slab of beef. That's exactly what it was.
I saw some shit where it had the picture of Ronald Reagan where he got shot, his lung collapsed, and he still needed less help to get into the fucking car than Hillary Clinton.
Dude, I mean, Hillary Clinton, you watch right before the collapse. Watch her head where she starts that. She looks like a cork bobbing in the sea, like a bottle. It was like a letter in the bottle.
Another thing I heard is she's suffering from decision fatigue.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have that, too. So I believe that. Although I don't... it's like, I don't want... Lauren asked me what I want for dinner. Do you have any ideas for dinner tonight? No. No, I don't know. She actually gives me a situation. She goes, would you like this or would you want that? Like, I don't know. I can take both. Well, do you want chili on it or you don't? No. Yes, I do want chili. No. Forget about it. My first decision was no. It's frustrating as hell. It's frustrating as hell. That's why I have a superhero closet. I have a superhero closet. I have all the shirts that I ever need. Don't need any more. But my pants, forget about it. I got about 8 pairs of sweatpants. They all go in a rotation. That's it. I wear them 2 days in a row, wash them, throw them into the thing, wash them, new ones. Sweatpants, undershirts, I don't want to be bothered with shit. Got too much to think about. Okay? I'd rather feed through a goddamn IV so I don't even have to Chew. Then Ben goes on to say, talking about this stuff, he's talking about Pepe and the memes, makes me feel like I'm describing a sort of Cold War. Like in a week, we're going to hear some breaking news about Hillary and attempting to sell undocumented, high-powered and rare Pepe to her online supporters. The next escalation is going to come if Hillary dies, because they're going to immediately blame this on Russia and Trump somehow, which is another thing that I don't understand. The Trump thing with as these hold on, let me actually go to the. Let me go to the Facebook fan page, and the Skype is. On. The Skype is on, so call on in if you have anything to add about any of this stuff. 7:32 p.m. We're not taking breaks. Let's see here. Let's go from Zero Hedge. Zero Hedge alone. This is from today. This is how much it costs to get an ambassadorship. Okay? You want to talk about selling, pay for play? Guccifer 2.0 leaks DNC pay-to-play donor list. After addressing a cybersecurity conference in London, notorious hacker Guccifer shared over 500 megabytes of documents detailing 100,000 DNC donors' contact info and donations. A large number of the donors received senior diplomatic or political positions following the donations, ranging from UK ambassador to assistant attorney general. The DNC released a statement preemptively claiming that this was the work of Russia and reigniting Trump's links to Putin. So once again, it's amazing to say, look at all of this stuff, and it's substantiated. It is smoking gun, it's the gun itself. And as this stuff comes out, the DNC comes out, we're going to get back to this article in particular, but this happened here. This is from PJ Media, okay? Interim DNC chair warns not to look at the new hack because it could have malware in it. There he goes. Interim Democratic National Committee Chair Donna Brazile warned against pursuing perusing the documents released in the latest DNC hack, alleging that they could have viruses which damage your computer. Yes, it has nothing to do with the fact that they don't want you to see just how bad the dog walkers act. They don't want you to see just how bad the people you think are the saviors of all things that are good, the people who are only there for the good of mankind. They don't want you to see how evil all the little emperors and empresses are. They don't want you to see it. They urge caution for anybody attempting to download the documents, given the potential malware risks. Yeah, the only malware risk would be to have your eyes opened up to a new possibility where you live in a world where the Democratic National Committee is actually a cesspool of the worst, worst people on the planet Earth. That's the malware, an outside thought that's not status quo. They don't want that malware getting into your system. So enough of this fucking hack. Let's go back into this. So the document, I'm going to put this in the chat room right now. Hold on a second. This is Zero Hedge. You guys can go through it. Watch out for the malware, though, everybody. Let me see. Nikki says, think of me on that glorious day when Frank has to broadcast topless. Hey, we still need 150 people to pledge to the Patreon. Even if it's 150 people who pledge a dollar, as long as the patrons, once patrons hits 150 patrons, then you get your topless episode. Did I put that in the chat room? I did. Okay. So here you go. DNC responded to the latest hack, claiming Tuesday interim chair, Russian state sponsor agents, because it has nothing to do with the actual stuff. Remember, everybody, you're an asshole. You're an asshole if you're one of the people who sit there and see yet another unveiling of the terrible truth behind the people that you think can do no wrong, that you will rationalize away the worst things to go and plug a vote for. Okay? You'll rationalize all that away. When you see some of this happen, and the first thing you go to is, oh, this is definitely Russia. Oh, this is Putin. What? Is it Russia that... Then ask yourself, is it Russia that served it up to us, or is it Russia that made it up? Because nobody is even denying that it's real. Well, it's private corruption, okay? If people don't want their corruption to be unveiled, then they shouldn't have to. Russia is violating the privacy of you know, the corrupt. It's and they're helping Trump. Even then, all that matters, it's just going to war with reality, because Trump needs to be prevented from taking office. Do you understand how silly that is? You understand how silly that is? It's just so silly. You don't have to be a fan of Trump's politics to realize how unbelievably silly it is. Nobody has even a choice. Let's correlate a few of these. Here are some of the alleged major donors. Okay. It appears that Richard M. Lobo's wife, Karen Lobo, donated $716,000 to DNC. Obama then nominated Richard Lobo for director of the International Broadcasting Bureau. And you'll see if you're following along at home. Pamela Hamamoto paid $605,000, then became the permanent representative of the United States of America to the United Nations and other international organizations in Geneva. Jane Hartley paid the DNC $605,000 and then was nominated by Obama to serve concurrently as a U.S. ambassador to the French Republic and the Principality of Monaco. Crystal Nix Hines, another one who should be doing nothing but working in the administration's office of a local YMCA. Crystal Nix Hines paid the DNC $600,000 and then was nominated by President Obama to the position of United States Permanent Representative to United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization of the rank of ambassador. So, you know, educational, scientific, and cultural, that means educating everybody on the horrors of Western civilization and white people. And science, which means global warming, climate change, global cooling, any other kind of climate, global warming. That's all it is. So there you go. She's out there making sure that all the kids are told who to hate. Bruce J. Orrick donated $1.1 million and serves as U.S. ambassador to Finland from 2015 2009 to 2015. That was worth it. Robert Mandel. Oh, my God, it goes on. It keeps going. Look at these creeps. Oh, it goes on and on and on. On and on and on.
Someone's got to die.
No, that's what I'm saying. There's too much at stake here.
You think she's faking all this health thing, like she's pretending to pass out so that this way she can say, like, make something up to kind of save herself, like, from just completely ruining herself.
Well, that's the other thing here. That's the other thing that I actually have not heard anybody speak about, that you actually trigger, but you bring that up. And once again, call on in if you want to talk about any of this stuff. If you have somebody like Donald Trump, if you have anybody that is not on the dole, now the scary thing is that Donald Trump is being surrounded by neoconservatives, and he is a glimmer of hope that is swimming in a sea of people who have tie-ins to past administrations, that have globalist ties, all this shit, that are going to try to subtly steer him toward a little bit more manageable direction. Because remember, this is a situation. This is a long-time communist Marxist situation that has been slowly, slowly crawling through the decades and growing through the decades. We were just listening to Michael Savage last night talking about it with Alex Jones, about how he believes that there should be another HUAC, which I actually also do believe. I'm right there with you. I'm no ANCAP. If you guys might have known that, I'm no anarcho-capitalist. I am a minarchist. I am a federalist, a constitutionalist, and a limited government, small government guy. Believe me, all of our ANCAP friends will be living in their glory if they were living in a country that was ruled by the 38 pages of this tiny little pamphlet, which if it's on an 8x11 is probably 4 pages long, the Constitution. And to preserve something like that, we need to keep a close eye on all those people that need that have been making this happen in the most subtle of ways, taking little tiny bites, and here they are. Do you think that a movement like this, that has been biding its time and playing the long game for so long, you think that 4 years, having to wait 4 years, 8 years of a Trump presidency, is really going to hold them back? Especially when they have operatives everywhere trying to lighten the blows and try... No, it's not. It's not. That's why, I mean, we've got to become very loud. I'm not a dyed-in-the-wool fan and a drooling admirer of Donald Trump. But I do consider myself part of that deplorable class. Because they can say whatever they want about the racism and all that other stuff. It doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Can you imagine a racist, like a real, real racist, real dyed-in-the-wool racist, flipping somebody one day, just, it's like, they're going to be flipping through their racist scrapbook, talking to one of the, like, young... One of the maybe youngling racists saying, I remember when it took work to be a racist. You actually had to do things that were racist to be called a racist. And it was a good time. We had our day. You know, you look at all these people getting called racists. Like, they're not racists. There's going to be racist purists out there. This is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's a parody. Everything is a parody. Everything's a parody. Really, 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 really is. I don't know anymore. Ooh, 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 ooh. Gadget Doc. Moonlit Altar, Nikki, Rumble and Roar, Frankie, Jenny, Madlark, Myrrh, and Pretend We Are Dead. Oh, you know what we got? On Friday night, we have a great guest calling in. We got a great guest calling in Friday night from Black Guns Matter. me see if the hold on a second. See if I got any kind of his name is Maj Torre. I got to get the exact pronunciation of his name. Check him out on Twitter. MajTorre. He's a figurehead in the Black Guns Matter movement. He's going to be coming on with us on Friday night to talk about the necessity of black gun ownership, the Second Amendment, the Constitution, knowing your rights, knowing the reason and the background behind the Second Amendment, and that kind of freedom to protect yourself, your community, your private property, self-preservation, and to also throw off government tyranny. He's going to be on with us on Friday night. And I'm going to do everything I can to make people like him and organizations like this a part of the fabric of this network going forward. Just part of our conversations and the people that we have that we can call on as friends, colleagues, in a very, very... Shit. The Dodgers just took a 1-0 lead in the top of the ninth.
All right, I thought you were having a Hillary Clinton moment for a second, bro.
No, I just got an update from the Yankee game. They're playing right now. Looks like they're going to have to win it in the bottom of the ninth. God damn it. So that's what we got going on there. That'll be fun. So this is taking a little bit more of a creepy twist for the next couple of weeks, guys. I got to just let you know that. Because this is beyond policy. We've talked about policy for a long time. We talked about philosophy and all that. It goes beyond that. We're not getting no John Adams. There's no John Adams on the bill. Okay, it was hard enough for John Adams to get elected president. But what we are fighting here is something. This is a very, very big fight against a movement that has its hand in the problems around the world. Britain already took place in that fight. They already threw off the EU. We got to have the same thing here. But there's going to be a lot more of a pushback in the United States. And it has to happen in the United States. We were the original Brexiteers. We were the original Brexiteers. We were a ragtag bunch of colonists that threw off a global superpower. We've got to be able to do it. We got to follow the lead of Britain now. Okay? Britain followed our lead 240 years later. Now we got to follow their lead a couple of months later. We have to. We have to do it. I don't believe the polls. I don't believe any of this stuff. I don't know. What do you guys believe? You know, I'd love to take some of your calls. I can sit here and talk to myself the whole time. I can definitely do it, but I mean, what the fuck do you think? So in the meantime, let me just say, please, if you like the podcast, share it with everybody you know. iTunes, SoundCloud, just put it on out there. Google Play, it doesn't matter. Also for the Patreon, patreon.com/ quite frankly, $1, $5, $10, $17.76 club. I want some of the $17.76 clubbers to call in and tell me about their experience reading their first letters. They had to have gotten them. I saw somebody tag me in a post showing the letter that I wrote them on Tumblr. So big shout out and thank yous to Michael Wells. These are my bosses right here. Michael Wells, Nikki in the chat room, Solus, Andrew Dame, Laura Varis, Matt Smith, Sean Collins, Christian Pepis from the Amatory Murder, Max Incaparato, Mad Mints, and Jackie Milam. I work for you guys. You guys are my bosses. Thank you so much.
What's that? Matt Smith?
Matt Smith.
That's a real fucking American name, right?
It
there.
Is.
You don't get much more American than that. Matt
nope.
Smith.
Nope. No, you don't. You don't get much more American than that. In fact, we have nothing going on after us tonight at 8 o'clock. We can bleed over a little bit if we want because we didn't do a full hour last night. Nikki says she got hers on Monday. And that's that. That's that. A couple other things. Let's see if I can blast through. What's going on, Derek? Couple of things that are here I wanted to get through. Lil Wayne. I should have probably just done this earlier. Lil Wayne says he didn't think racism existed because white people attend his concerts. This is from the Daily News. He denies retirement rumors as well. Yo, I have a lot of respect for Lil Wayne now. A lot of respect for this. A lot of it. Rapper Lil Wayne declared racism dead on Tuesday. What the hell is happening here? What? Just stop this. Yo, hold on. I'm gonna get really upset soon.
Greatest songs.
Let's try that one more time. There's going to be a lot of editing done to this broadcast, too. Lil Wayne says he didn't think... Now, I got to see where the hell this audio is coming from, because it's going to come blasting back on.
Think they're going to win it all this year?
Okay. Rapper Lil Wayne declared racism dead. When asked by Undisputed co-host Skip Bayless about the predominantly white Westchester audience... for which he'd once performed, the New Orleans native said it signified to him there was no such thing as racism. A lot of white kids love rap. Explain that. What does that say to you? What's the message of it? What's the bigger picture of it? Bayless asked. And he said, I don't want to be bashed because I don't want to sound like I'm on the wrong if there is a side. But I thought that it was clearly a message that there is no such thing as racism, Wayne replied. That's what I thought that was. It was a perfect example. Now, even I would say that's a little bit more of an overgeneralization. I wouldn't say that racism is gone because white kids like rap. Because it is just a... It's just a fact of human nature. There's racism all over the world. In black countries, Africa is full of racism. We can see that. Okay? The United States has a racist past or racist elements of a past that were overcome and it was battled from the very onset. And in the hearts of human beings, there's always ill will toward another person. And the easiest thing to do is attack the exterior, and that's what we do. That's just it. You acknowledge that and you move on, and you're able to meet tons of people from all walks of life, and it is the most enriching experience ever. I never told you guys a story of us the last morning that we spent in L.A. in June when we went out to perform at VidCon. We stopped by a Denny's to have some, I know, it was a bad... It was a bad choice, but our stomachs actually survived. I didn't have to go, take a shit on the plane or anything like that. It was actually pretty good. So we stopped by a Denny's in the middle of some, suburb of Los Angeles. And it wasn't the best area. But we went on in there, and we were in a little section, a corner of Denny's. And to our right, we had a black family. Well, it was an older black man, and what I would have to assume was his wife, but also somebody that could have been their daughter or a niece or something like that. But they were all older. He was in his probably early 70s. The younger woman that was with him had to be in the mid to late 40s. And then the older woman was probably about his age. That's why I assume that they were maybe married or something. But he seemed to be like, I think he was a Vietnam vet. I saw his hat, and they were having a conversation to the right of us. And I loved listening to conversations in diners and whatnot. There was another, a father, I was a father of, or he was either in a Big Brother program, because he was white and the kids he was with were, one was black and one was white, and I think they both addressed him as dad. So he was either in a, I don't know, he's either a Big Brother or he adopted or he, it's an interracial marriage or something, but he was to the left of us, and we had this black family on the right of us, we had some people behind us, but I never turned around to see who they were. And you know, we're just having our breakfast and we're having a good time, we're talking, and I just get to listening to the table next to us, and the black guy with the veteran was talking. He was talking out loud to a person next to him, who had mentioned that somebody they had known had made the statement that they were in a plane and they were not moving when they went up to 36,000 feet, and the plane was just standing still. They weren't moving. Because, you know, when you're up there, perspective, it doesn't look like you're moving, but you're actually going hundreds of miles an hour and covering thousands of miles in just a matter of hours. And he goes, he started saying, no, don't let anybody hear you say that out loud, please. Please don't let anybody hear you. You know, oh, yeah, but they were saying it. They were saying that, you know, she swore that they were staying in place, that they didn't go anywhere. He goes, oh, don't anybody hear you say. He just kept saying it over. Don't let anybody hear you say that out loud. Was she drinking? Was she drinking before she got on the plane? And it took, before long, you know, I can't hold my tongue. When I hear the way people speak and interact with each other, I know whether or not a person is a good person. I don't need to be talking to Einstein. I don't need to be gauging whether or not somebody is intelligent or not. These people were funny as hell. They were intelligent in that common man kind of way. That way where if you present A or B before them, they're going to say, what are you fucking kidding me? It's A. And it's right, just for all the common man reasons. Before long, I found a way. We were talking to them. By the time we left, you know, we were talking about, because I started laughing at everything they're saying. And when he noticed that I was chuckling at something that he was saying, you know, he asked for my opinion. He said, hey, right? You know, he kind of pulled them in. By the end of that breakfast, our entire side of the diner was talking to each other. We had pulled in the man to the left of us with the two kids. We had pulled in everybody in the table to the right of us. We pulled in the waitress. You know, we were all laughing together. We were telling everybody what we were doing in town, coming from New York. We exchanged business cards, and we should talk. And I did follow up with them. I sent them emails as soon as I got home. And that's just it. You walked out of there with none of the weights on your shoulders that you did going in. Because let's face it, you carry around the stuff that you see on television, that you know to be what's going on in the world. You carry that around with you. It's just residue. How many times on this show have I said we talk about politics and we play along with the game to be able to explain the game? On this show, we play the game to explain the game. But unlike other radioactive substances that you can handle through incubators with those lead gloves in a laboratory someplace to not poison yourself with the substance you're touching, politics, there is no incubator for it. If you handle that substance, it's getting through to everything. It poisons everyone. You walk into it, it changes the way that you see and gauge what's going on in a room as you walk into it. With all the racial tension that's been drummed up, walking into that Denny's, which was, you know, 70% black, probably 20% Hispanic, and 10% white, you know, you kind of just, you know, it's not so much that it's in you as it, you want to know if it's in everybody else. When I walk into a room, I don't give a fuck what the hell's going on. But my first question is, what's going on in everybody else's heads? And I start gauging. Are these people who are relaxed and loose and easy? Or are they trying to gauge what the room is like as well? And that's why you have to try to find icebreakers. You have to do it. You have to be that person. I always put that on myself to be that person. To talk to the unhappy people that are ringing you up in grocery stores. I got to be that person. And by the time we left that Denny's, man, everybody, that was a healing experience. I was ready to get back on the plane and come to New York. It felt good. It just felt good. And, you know, with Lil Wayne, this is a great thing to see come out of somebody. Now, of course, he's going to be called a coon. He's going to be called, I'm sure he's been called a coon by thousands of people on Twitter when they heard about this. How dare
Uncle Tom?
Oh no, yeah, Uncle Tom. But the cooning, they say, oh, the cooning just never stops. I see that all the time. When I'm coming out the bottom of the stage at my show, and I open my eyes and I see everybody. He added, I don't have this type of crowd or that type of crowd. My crowd always has been everybody. Thank God. Wheezy, who is was last portrayed by country singer Jason Aldean, sporting blackface, who last year was portrayed by whatever, offered a slightly more muddled assessment of American race relations earlier in the interview. I have never dealt with racism, and I'm glad I didn't have to. I don't know if it's because of my blessings, but it's my reality. I thought it was over. I still believe it's over, but obviously it isn't. And I just think if we just keep believing it and ignore all these freaks, then we'll be fine. And they are freaks. Freaks of absolute nature. Freaks of nature, man. I want nothing to do with them. I'll fight them to the end. We did Donald Trump, Pepe the Frog, Lil Wayne. We didn't get around to George Carlin once again. Naomi Klein. Here you go. You want to talk about the ambassadorships of education and science to the UN? This is what they're teaching. Naomi Klein admits global warming is not about science, but destroying capitalism. This is from greenjihad.com. The Heartland Institute published a very revealing article about leftist shock jock Naomi Klein, who just published a new anti-capitalist screed entitled This Changes Everything, Capitalism Versus the Climate. Essentially, Ms. Klein admits that the issue of climate change, formerly known as global warming, is not about science but really about overthrowing capitalism. Our economic model is at war with Earth, writes Klein. We cannot change the laws of nature, but we can change our economy. Climate change is our best chance to demand and build a better world. Of course, climate change was also written about in the Club of Rome in the 70s, how it needs to be used to usher in one world government and destroy capitalism. For the author, this completely, now the Heartland article goes on to say, for the author, this completely boring run-of-the-mill flight delay became a flight of fancy, inspiring her new work. This flight delay, she reasoned, I guess she had a flight delay and she wrote this stupid article. She reasoned, was evidence of climate change. Who cares, she added, if we know that the solar cycles impact the planet even more than CO2 emissions ever could. Let's read that again. Who cares, she added, if we know that the solar cycles impact the planet even more than CO2 emissions ever could? Science is not the point, but it makes for a great alibi. Quote, the really inconvenient truth, this is all from the article, the really inconvenient truth is that it's not about carbon, it's about capitalism. The convenient truth is that we can seize this existential crisis to transform our failed economic system and build something radically better, she writes. Another motivational moment for Klein, a single mother, of course she's a single mother, because she's a strong woman powering through, probably. Fuck this woman. I don't even know her story. I could have just made a false statement. Don't care. Fuck this woman. The story was about a moose. She worried that the young lad had never seen a moose in his life. She was reading a children's book to her son.
She wants to start talking about animals. there's more moose than there's ever been. There's more polar bears than there's ever been. Moose are starting to move down into New York now. And polar bears are starting to move around. Because there's so many of them, they're starting to fucking move out of the fucking ice caps. There's more fucking polar bears now than there were 100 years ago.
Another motivational. Another motivational moment for Klein, a single mother, happened when she was reading a children's book to her son. The story was about a moose. She worried that the young lad would never see a moose in his life. Then, reading another children's book, this one about bats, she worried that the boy would never see a bat. Her overly emotional reactions to everyday things, plane delays, reading bedtime stories to Junior are something that she feels must motivate us all to give up our way of life.
She's not a good mother. I don't know why she wants her son to see a bat so bad. They're the number one carrier of rabies, first of all. And not all bats are dying from white nose syndrome. That's just the Indiana bat or the little brown bat.
That goes beyond. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. Listen. She feels we must be motivated to give up our way of life. Naomi. I know you'll never watch this show. Listen to this show. Doesn't matter. I understand. Your son needs to learn that if you have a crazy thought, you're not allowed to impose that on other people. Okay? Your son needs to learn that. But he's not going to, because he's got a crazy ex-cocksucker like yourself for a mother. I'm sorry. I'm being very vile tonight. I'm getting upset now.
She's wrong about everything. Especially the bats, bro.
I just hate all these people. I hate these people. They're terrible, terrible people. Terrible people. What do you expect? And here's another one. Daily Mail. We saw this from last week. A terror on EasyJet flight as a migrant being deported to Venice. Screams Allahu Akbar 29 times and says death is coming 17 times.
I would have attacked.
And we will die 9 times in a shocking 2-hour frenzy. Well, what are you going to expect? You're talking about people who are being deported and migrants that aren't supposed to be in that part of the world. You're deporting them and they're being upset. Well, what do you expect? What did anybody expect when they took King Kong off of Skull Island? That he was going to get along with everybody in New York City? You fucking kidding me? You're taking King Kong out of Skull Island. You think this shit's not going to happen? I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I'm getting so angry. Motherless babies are possible as scientists create live offspring without need for a female egg. Well, that's great because the new left, the new progressive movement of the world doesn't like straight people. They don't want straight people anywhere. This is going to be great. Now all the people who wouldn't be able to procreate are going to be able to procreate. In fact, they're going to start making. I bet you any money they start cloning and creating people that they know would be completely dumb. That's what's going to be made.
I should clone the founding fathers.
It's just going to... Or no. They're not going to do that because why make conscious human beings? Why make conscious human beings at all? This is the Matrix. You can just breed your little battery, your human batteries... And there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's in that song we were listening to last night. The only 2525, they're talking about that shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, the only reason why that we have news media right now is because they still need your vote. They still need your consent to do all this stuff. Once power has been seized on every imaginable level, they don't need your consent anymore. They don't need your consent anymore. This is all persuasion and coercion. That's all this is. Once they have everything in a row, fuck, man. Okay, I'm done. I'm done for the night.
Let's go to the roof.
Good night, everybody. I need to go get so fucking stoned, it's unbelievable. Matt, if I come down here and I know what my name is still, you failed.
Then you gotta hit it more than 2 times, bro. Give it at least 8 hits, bro.
Everybody have a great evening. I wish you all the best. Is that Johnny's room, Anonymous 9153?
Yep.
Johnny, you got to fix your problem here, man. I don't know. I'll talk to you guys soon. Be well. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out. I got to go. It's over.